Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
7 seconds, six. They are going to snap it. Mahomes going to roll to his right. Throws. Touchdown. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman. As they roll Mahomes right, Mecole Hardman is wide open. And the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Back-to-back years. Another heartbreaking loss for Kyle Shanahan.
Dang it!
Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod, and joining me, Shane, of course, David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hi, Shane. Hi, listeners. Hi, Todd. Yes, we're back post Super Bowl. Bit of a gut wrencher for you there, Shane. With
post Scottish Cup win, you mean?
Yeah.
Was there another game this weekend?
There was another sporting event. The evil Kansas City Chiefs, who probably are wondering how they've become evil when a few years ago everyone loved them, managed to defeat Shane's beloved Niners in a what is technically termed a squeaker.
Yeah.
Hi, Todd. Yeah.
Hi, how are you? Are you
I'm
okay?
Right.
You're right?
Okay. Yeah, I think drinking a gallon of vodka without eating anything was a bit of a tactical error. But
boomsy, boomsy. Yes.
Outside of that.
I'm not sure eating would have done a lot in all fairness.
No.
maybe putting a wee bit too much faith in the restorative power of a bunker. You know,
There was about as much planning behind that as Kyle Shanahan's overtime strategy.
Sure. So. Yeah. Oh, I saw the breakdown of that on some of the Canadian media here, and it was just, oh boy. Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking. That was the second most dropbacks for Brock Purdy all season. I mean, that what did I say last week? What's going to happen? They're not going to give the ball to McCaffrey when they need to, which is exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had two or three chances to really kill off the game completely and just stopped feeding the ball to the guy that no one stopped all season.
Yeah.
Right.
Here we go.
You're up against a team who know how to win, who have, let's face it, the guy who in a few years we're going to be talking about as the greatest quarterback.
Yeah. You got Michael Jordan over there.
Yeah, I mean, you do.
You gave him a chance to get back into the game.
And, of course, he took it because he's brilliant. What was great, though, I really enjoyed about it is, if you like NFL, and I do, right, then it was actually a really good game at the start. The defenses were, you know, really on top, really firing, and that was making it difficult. And then you would get the old moment of brilliance, like the Niners opening try, which was so clever. Mm-hmm. And to pull that off in a match like that was great. But you get, you know, the once a year crowd who were watching it, it must have bored the arse off them. So I enjoyed that a great deal. But right.
The first half didn't have too much there.
But I'd rather have that than a blowout where someone is it was the game was live right up until it wasn't.
Had we tried to kill the game off, it could have been a blowout.
Right.
Again.
It's such a shame because the story was there for, you know, Purdy. For those of you who don't know, the 49ers quarterback, America have that draft system, and he was drafted last, right? 262nd out of 262. That's what it was, 262nd. Now, someone has to be, I suppose, but for him to to be then 2 years later playing in the final. I mean, that was a movie, but was ruined by... It's the equivalent of in Karate Kid, had that blonde kid just fucked him in the face and walked away and went, yeah, and shagged the girl right there. And that's what that was, you know, the cool, the jock won, the cool kid
right.
Won, and unfortunately... Which I think such a nice wee guy, Bryce Purdy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, he seems all right. I don't know. You know, Kyle Shanahan, though, I really like, he's out today, you know, because they're doing media today. So that we wanted the ball third. It's like, what? Nobody's ever said that. Don't try to fucking make sense of this.
Right.
No. The thing it automatically did, right? You take the ball first, which means you give Pat Mahomes the ball, and everything's a four down play, right?
Right.
They don't have to think about punting, which means that you just gave Patrick Mahomes an extra play over and over. Like,
Yeah. I will say this. There's one good thing that came out of this. And I don't know what the equivalent is in your worlds, but like, there's a moment where there's a comedian on stage doing something. You're with the other comics at the back of the room, and the comedian does a joke that slaughters. But it's one of those jokes that it was in front of everyone. And why didn't you see? It was like a turn of phrase or like this observation that everyone knew about. And all you had to do was just look down and pick it up and go, oh, this is something. And then they've got it. You go, God damn. Like, and every comic goes, son of a bitch. It was right there in front of all of us. And I would just like to thank, I don't know who did this. Whoever coined bro flakes. Chef's kiss. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. The people who think they can take on Taylor Swift and win, just give it a shot. It's the best. It's I adore people who rattle against pop culture and don't realize that they're in the wrong. And just keep going forever. Or here's something, keep your opinions to yourself. I'm not a fan of country music, but when Toby Keith died, you didn't hear me go one down, several to go. I didn't. I just went about my day. That's all I did. So
there was an interesting fight in our group chat because Laura, one of the podders, she's a huge Swiftie, right? Mm-hmm. She adores all things Swiftie. And Colin, one of our podders, adores Kanye West. So I didn't realize this, but apparently Kanye West fans don't like Taylor Swift for the very strange reason that Kanye West once made a complete cunt of himself on stage.
Yeah.
At an award show. She didn't do anything right, but they don't like
it. Right.
Well, Colin came away with this. I stay out of these sort of arguments, as you can imagine, but Colin came out with this belt and he says, yeah, it was Kanye who made her famous. And I come back and I went, mate, she just did 19 million ticket applications for her concert, for her US tour. 19 million people tried to get tickets to go and see her. I said, whereas the guy that you are defending said that he quite likes Hitler. And he has some great.
Well, I would point out too to Colin's effort that she was in the process of winning an award when he decided to get on the stage and act like a fucking idiot.
We also all know that his phone unlock password is 0000. He did it in the fucking White House on camera. It's like bots to the interweb.
Outstanding content. So no, I mean, I normally don't get involved in those sort of arguments because, you know, come on. But on this one, I thought I might have to intervene. But yeah, I mean, it was very enjoyable. Although brilliantly over here, Sky cover the NFL every week and do a really good job on it. But again, great marketing. SPFL, look at this. What the NFL do is they give, they sell, but for a reasonable amount, because obviously they've not got as much money, they sell the rights to the Super Bowl final, as well as to Sky, but to a terrestrial channel in the UK, to a free channel, which you can see the sense, can't you? Because it means that rather than a very small
audience. It's on terrestrial TV over here. So.
Yeah. That's what they do. They sell it to, this year it was ITV, last few years it's been the BBC. And that means, of course, anyone can watch it, which puts more eyes on your product and makes it more popular, funnily enough. And Sky are okay with it because they say, oh, people might see this on free TV and think, oh, I like this. I better get Sky so I can watch it. Right. I'll see, right, so it works for everyone. Yeah. But ITV stole all of Sky's team for it. So the guys who are on every single week for a year, right? Well, I was looking at them, who's this dude? And then I turned over to ITV and there they are. I was like, you fuckers. They were like, oh, you'll get maybe like 1.4 million people watching this. They'll get maybe 8 or 9 million people watching this. I'll see ya. I'll be back for the first game of next season. But I really admired that. I really did.
We had a complaint that kind of got a little bit answered this time because what will happen is the CTV, which is a Bell Media company, they get the rights to the Super Bowl and they broadcast it on 3 of their channels and do all of the feed, like do all of the commercials from Canada. So a lot of it is promoting their shows like The Good Doctor, you know, Bell commercials, you know, that are, you know, we're faster than Rogers. And meanwhile, you're laying off half your team. So we don't get to see the American Super Bowl ads.
Yeah.
They started peppering them in. So we got like 2 or 3, and then we got 45 Good Doctor ads and Bell 5 ads. But like, but at least we got to see like people doing a really bad Christopher Walken impression. We got to see a Dunkin' Donuts with Matt Damon and Ben Matt Affleck. Damon. It was nice.
Yeah, you always need to shout Matt Damon in the Team America style.
Whenever. Oh, yeah, every time. I have a friend of my comic friend out of Alabama called Matt Davis. Every time I see him, Matt Davis.
It's absolutely obligatory. See what you were saying earlier about you know, great lines. For me, for me, it's lyrics. When someone, especially as you say, if it's just a phrase that's been sitting there and someone incorporates it. Like there's a half man, half biscuit.
I was gonna guess. As soon as you get into, there's a turn of phrase. Let me guess, half man, half biscuit. Here we go.
Well, they've got one for absolutely everything. And the reason I realised that was when one day Cammy gave me a tip for a betting tip, and it was for the.
I thought he gave you a gratuity. Great podcast this week. Here's a fiver. Pick up something nice for yourself.
Yeah. It was either that or a length, and frankly, I don't want either of them. But he said to me, "Look, there's this at the dog race, and of all things, he said Monmouth at 4 o'clock. This, and it romped in, and you know, everyone made some money, so it was great. But they actually have a song called Monmouth Hares Running, which is about the dog racing at Monmouth. And I was like, they have a song for it. But the one that it absolutely slayed me is they have a song called Midnight Mass Murder, which is about the, you know, the annual event of people who go to one church service a year. And it's the Christmas, the night before Christmas. And it ends rather spectacularly with the minister addressing the choir and singing to them to the football chant, take your chips and fuck off home. And I just thought, I wish I'd written that.
Yeah. Well, I've been, my head has been earworming its way through Devo songs, but it's not even like the top singles. It's like shit that they don't ever play in concert. It's like these buried tracks. It's like, why am I singing It's Not Right? Anyway, I figured out, for just to peel back the curtain so people can see how the sausage made a little bit. Before we came on air, I asked the other two guys if they knew like where Born Ready came from. It was in some movie or some such thing, but there was a specific instance of it, and I figured out it was Big Trouble in Little China. That's the one I was thinking of. Born Ready, like perfect. Yeah.
Is that? I haven't seen it in a while. Is it racist now? Is it?
I don't know that it wasn't then.
It was the 80s though, so it was different then.
Yeah. But here's the thing, like if it is racist, they did it right because Jack Burton's a complete boob in it. So, you know, white guy is getting made fun of. I'm sure it's very culturally insensitive, but Jack Burton, me, perfect. Like you can't
Speaking of, you know how we talk each week about culturally insensitive things that basically you've ruined for us all by saying, oh, you can't watch that anymore. The other night, I watched a James Bond movie. Right?
Can I?
You can guess if you wish. It was the 70s. What, it was a Roger Moore one, so I'll
never right. Yeah. Anyone.
We're both there.
Yeah.
It was a 70s. It was The Man with the Golden Gun. Right? Right.
Oh, yeah. That is prejudiced against people with extra nipples.
Yeah, and small people.
Yes. And fuck, tattoos in that, isn't he? Yeah.
That shows small people excelling in life, David. What are you talking about?
Well, it elevates them because they need elevating.
And I was sitting watching it, and it's Roger Moore, right? And he's very suave. But basically, he shags a lot of women, right? Mm-hmm. And he shoots people for no reason. Right, for no reason. And it just made me realize, can we have some movies where the lead person isn't tortured and isn't, you know, going through a moral crisis? Can we just have someone with a really cool guy, shags lots of people, who are all up for it, by the way. There's no coercion involved. He's just met them, so there can't be any emotional control going on. He basically goes up to him and he says something spectacular. And, okay, there are a couple of what you might term stereotypes, it's fair to say. Right, you'll get that, but you have to remember that at the time it wasn't long since we had basically owned these countries, so under those circumstances it was actually relatively sensitive, you know, the portrayal, I think. But Christopher Lee in anything,
yes,
I'm
absolutely
happy. And at one point he's wearing a tracksuit, a 70s tracksuit.
Yes.
What the fuck were these? These were second skins, man, these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus, you can see his third nipple. You can see his other two.
Yeah.
And you can see his cock.
He was John Hamming his way all through that movie. Oh, it was delightful.
What do you think of this then? It's your cock, Chris.
Sorry, is that the golden gun? Yeah. Is that so?
Concealed weapon, ahoy! it was that last Bond movie. Have you seen it? No Time to Die.
Yeah,
of course. Right. I own it, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, David Mitchell's a spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen it, fast forward the next 20 seconds. David Mitchell's a great rant about this, and he's spot on. The last scenes in No Time to Die, Bond dies.
Yes.
Right. Now, the entire point.
It makes a little bit of a problem for the overall arc of the series, I think.
Exactly. Yes, it does. Yeah.
The whole point of fucking Bond films is that he doesn't die.
Correct.
And that he gets himself out of these situations. So by doing this, you have completely invalidated all the other movies, because you're sitting watching them going, it's all right, he escapes here. But at one point, he dies lonely and brokenhearted after not being able to see his daughter. Fuck off with that shit. Right. He's James Bond.
Well, again, it's when they did Superman that it changed everything, right? They made Superman human. And now every character in every movie, we got to have this kind of thing. It's absolute bullshit. It's fucking James Bond. It's the same idea. Right. Yeah. He lives. He survives and he fucks everything. That's the whole point of the goddamn movies.
The entire series is summed up in Goldfinger. It's like, you know, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Expect you to.
Yeah.
I expect it. It would be nice if you did. It would be great. You're gonna ruin my little plan, but no.
Well, speaking of that, after I watched a couple of James Bond movies, I watched the first Austin Powers, and Dr. Evil, who you guys will know being comedy aficionados, is actually based on Lorne Michaels, which I think
who I only found out in the past 5 to 10 years about that. It was like, of course. As soon as I said it, it was like, yes.
Yeah, right. The voice, everything. But Dr. Evil, the bit when he says, right, take him away, and his son, Seth Green's, why don't we just shoot him?
Are you going to watch him die?
We could literally kill him.
I've got a gun, we could shoot him. No, Scott, I'm going to put him in an easily escapable, over elaborate situation and then just assume everything went to plan. That's what we do. And Scott kind of complains, says, Scott, I have been a freaking evil doctor for 30 years. the second movie's greatest. In that, you know, Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Plays a henchman who gets killed, yep. And the phone rings at his home. And he's like, "Son, you know how your father is a henchman for Dr. Evil? I'm afraid he's been killed." Nobody ever thinks of the family of a henchman, and it's true. Right.
That is one of the best scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, then you start thinking of the frog and the scorpion and blah, blah, blah. My favorite thing about, to the point we were talking about before is, like, you know, oh, you can't watch the Bonds anymore, and everyone gets hypersensitive. Oh, how come we can't watch that? It's not racist. It's not anything. And then you cut to the second Austin Powers movie, and Fat Bastard shows up. That's not what Scottish people are like. Fuck you. It's like, okay. You can't have it both ways, pal. You know.
Well, the thing is, the Fat Bastard character, in there are a lot of Scottish people who are like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You go to a Highland Games here.
I must admit, I went to Highland Games once, and it wasn't for me. I've only ever worn a kilt.
Well, someone doesn't like watching a pillow full of hay being thrown.
Yeah, which is odd because I love every new year. I love World's Strongest Man, where most pointless tasks are done by really, really hefty Romanian.
Pull this tractor with your dick. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. See this enormous stone. We'd like you to lift it up onto this barrel. Why?
And then we've got six more, even more enormous stones.
Exactly.
Right. We just need you to grab this enormous stone and place it atop this barrel for no reason whatsoever. Fucking love it. The pointlessness of it is, and even better in Britain, they get James Richardson to present it. You know, the very highbrow.
Oh, Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. He presents World's Strongest Man, and that is just delectable. Mm-hmm. It's so great, but you have to. I actually knew a guy, very small part of the small town I grew up. I lived in a very small part of it. It was essentially only kind of four streets. Right there, it was a great place to grow up because behind us there was a river and a park. We were right on the outskirts of town. There was a big park with a full size football pitch and a five a size football pitch that were, you know, you could just go on and play on. There was a river. There was loads to do, but you know, there was only four streets, so there weren't many people there. And one of the guys who lived in the street went on to be a competitor in World's Strongest Man.
Okay.
And then went on to be jailed for importing a shitload of drugs when he was at World's. So I went from, I know him! I went from, I know him! He grew up in my street. He was the World's Strongest Man, to going, fuck, I wish I'd known him better. I didn't know he'd all that gear.
Oh god. Hey, you know, right before we got on, I saw the preview for the new series of the Sunderland thing, you know.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Whatever, right. The Netflix thing. Did they actually kill a fan this year just to make a point? Cuz like it's all based around a funeral scene. It's very 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 depressing. I mean, and I wouldn't put it past, you know, that group down there. Well, I mean, that's
Well, there is a certain club in the northeast of England I wouldn't put it past their
own. Yeah, well, yeah. Bonesaws and Harmony.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be a necessary surprise. It must be tempting for anyone who's been at a game has been tempted to kill a fan. So it must be tempting for people who have to deal with them on an hourly basis, I would imagine.
Sure. But,
I'm. Is it just me that's a wee bit fed up with all these fucking football shows behind us?
Endless. Well, it's sports ones, like, because the new. I think the new Formula One comes out this week too.
Right.
You know what? At first, it was good, but of course, like everything in football, they have to kick the arse right out of it. And by this stage, it's like three series in. If you're not a Sunderland fan, why the fuck would you care? You know, the first one had Martin Baines, so it was funny to us.
Yeah, no, it was nice for us to laugh at.
Yeah, it was nice for us to laugh. And everybody had a good laugh. But then, like, there's one about Wrexham. And Ryan Reynolds seems a really good guy. Ryan Reynolds, and as he's known, the other one,
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you can see the disappointment in the football presenters when it's the other one who turns up and it's not Ryan Reynolds. You can see the disappointment.
Poor Rob.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck about Rick? You know, once you get the initial story, it's like, right, cool. And then it's, you know, for fuck's sake. But
yeah, it's like, you know, all their, like, oh, my kid's got an illness. It's like, okay. Cool.
I think you just get after
welcome to the world.
You just get fatigued with them, and it's like there's one about Burnley, and there's one about Wrexham, and there's one about Sunderland, and there's one about Newcastle, and eventually I'm just like, guys, fuck off.
Well, there's City, yeah. Arsenal.
I will say this: the Wrexham one is actually really good. It's to the point where my wife tolerates football unless Italy is playing. She came in, just caught like 5 minutes of it, and it wasn't even like around Ryan Reynolds scene. It was like, you know, following the fans and stuff like that, and kind of getting backstory.
Yeah, see, like,
this is cool. It's like, yeah, it's.
I think the culture. Last series of that though, I was kind of faded out halfway through because it was like, oh, this is dumb now.
Yeah. I think all these things are one and done. Like, I don't think we need a continuous series of and then let's see if they get promoted. Like, yeah. Okay.
No, yeah. It doesn't. The other thing about it is there really needs to be, you mentioned that it's about the fans. Can you imagine for all the Rangers supporters listening to this who've all done buses in our time that they send the Disney cameras onto a bus? First of all, no. There's a sectarian CD that gets played 14 times.
Yeah. Right.
Up the back of the bus, there's wee guys doing bumps off their hands. There is more alcohol on this bus than there is in the Queen Elizabeth II yacht. Right. The bus, and now we see, as the bus approaches a police cordon, the maneuver known as hide the booze. And up in their seats behind, you know, it's a different world, and they should be more realistic about it. At this point, King Billy's on the Wall starts.
Meanwhile, I feel sorry for the poor sound guy. Is like, the sound of those flutes is really killing my range here. Can you? It's clipping. Can you stop? And the drums are no better. Come on.
They always pick the wholesome fans, you know. No, pick the real fans, the ones that go every week, the ones that, you know. At this point, the bus stops to allow 60 men to get up and have a pish by the side.
Right.
Steve's got sick again.
Oh, God, you know. And a way trip to Dortmund and the toilet's fucked 20 miles into the journey, you know. These are the kinds of things you should be doing. Put that in fucking Disney and see if it gets an audience.
Well, I mean, we kind of tried, and then, you know, even just listening to the audio of our own players, we were like, yeah, we can't do this. This is going to end up with one of us in the clink or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, modern football.
I'm still waiting on that behind the scenes of 55, by the way. But Rab, whenever you want to get that done, you know, any day now.
You'll never get it. It's, you know, it's right up there with the other footage of the JFK assassination.
Great, yeah. Zapruder 2.
That shows LBJ with the rifle in the car behind him. That one, it's just been buried. It's been put away.
Shooting from the bathroom.
Yeah. We'll never
door be wide open.
Door wide open. I meant to say to you, because, you know, we were talking last week about LBJ for listeners. Have you seen everybody's seen the Woody Harrelson one. Have you seen the better one, the Bryan Cranston?
Oh, shit, yes. I love that one.
That one is
so great.
That's the one to get. That's the LBJ one to get.
Oh, wait, are you saying watch a movie with Bryan Cranston in it? Okay.
Why? Why?
Because he's perfect. There's not one thing he's bad in, you know? Even Strombo, like, you know, who the fuck is this? A writer, fuck off. It's Bryan Cranston. Watch it. Okay, fine. It's good.
I mean, the problem with the Woody Harrelson one was Rob Reiner fucking directed it. Like, you can't have him directing a film like that. Come on. That's not. That doesn't work.
I liked Trumbo. That was a good movie.
Yeah, Trumbo was great.
Was a good movie. But I like Bryan Cranston. He's very good.
What was it? All the Way, right?
All the Way with LBJ.
Possibly the first time you've seen a president say to an assistant, can you do something about these trousers? They're right up my bunghole.
Yep. there's your behind the scenes for 55.
Yeah. Till now, when obviously if the president did say that, it would at least say that he remembered that he has an asshole and is thus having a good day.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That poor old bastard.
I mean, does it really matter?
He should be in a home.
They should both be in a home. Well, one should be fucking committed to fucking psych ward. Yeah. Right. Biden could just be in a nice, pleasant retirement community somewhere eating like marzipan or something. Like, I don't know.
One should be, you know, in a place that has like therapy cats that come in twice a week, and the other should be in a jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's going to be fun.
To be honest, I'd put both of them in a jail.
Whatever, doesn't hurt me.
Bring America together. That'll be my policy. I'll run for the American presidency on of just jailing everyone.
I mean, can't, but you know,
exactly. You can run, but then it's like, okay, here's my ballot stuff. Okay, can I see your passport? Haha, stamp no.
didn't they let Barack Obama? Donald Trump said
right now there is someone like listening in a basement going, see, yes, he knows.
No, I mean, I forget. Look, how hard can it be to change the constitution? And you don't even need to make it for all foreigners.
It's incredibly hard. That's part of the problem, David.
Yes.
It's not an easy document to really fix. Change anything anymore.
Shane, you sound more like an Americant than an American.
Okay, allow me to put it this way. They wouldn't do it for Schwarzenegger. I doubt they're going to do it for a guy that runs a podcast.
We've done it 17 times.
Yes. There is one bald guy who runs a podcast. He lives in the U.S. He has a fighting chance, and he still won't get in.
Okay. I would sort everything out because I've got a bit of distance, right? So I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I don't get caught up in the things. And I do think David's policy of just jail everybody eventually, you know, sort the wheat from the chaff, so to speak.
David, look, at least my, you know, the two idiots over here have the, well, you know, cover of both being mentally incapacitated.
Sure.
Whereas your first minister is flying off to see the fucking leaders of Hamas.
Of course, yeah.
It's good buddies over there.
I'll say this for as I mentioned last week, both the SNP and the Conservative government in the UK have given up because they both know they're fucked. So they are both just completely given up. It's like, we have no ideas. We are basically, when we get together now, it's for a game of cards. that's sort of like what we're doing. So we're in this weird sort of election year hinterland, where at the moment everyone just accepts that nothing is good. But then, you know, some deep in the British psyche that we sort of I don't think we're able to process that you can, you know, governments can do nice things for people. I think that we just sort of expect to be fucked over, and it kind of feeds into a need for us to be able to go, well, should I know, eh? You know, that's sort of, I don't think that we are, like, you know, like, as we've said before on here about the French will go and strike about everything. We just grumble. We just moan about it and then go and do it. I think that's
what, like, 60 years of conservative governments for both of us have kind of done. So it's like, okay, they're going to do it anyway.
I think it's even further than that. I think that our things, we like complaining and then doing the thing that we're complaining about. That's how we go about, but we can then, it does lead to some, you know, good one-liners, and there's that.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people take that sentiment just a bit too far. It's like the people of, like, these people are grooming children. It's like, okay, how many drag queens have groomed a child? Zero. How many pastors have been locked away? Millions. It's just, I point the finger at the mirror and scream.
Wait, is there something they haven't told us here, Todd?
Shane.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally a groomer and I eat babies. Yeah, so,
Shane,
you know.
Shane, there's Todd with one of his right on bullshit, alienating our core audience.
Yeah. Fuck enter.
My apologies to all the groomers out there. I apologize.
You want some ridiculous football? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because we're getting talks about new kits again already, I saw.
Again? But,
yeah, well, that's fine. Ugh. I don't care. We could get rid of Castor any day.
Yeah.
But so the new MLS shirts came out for next season. Guess how much an MLS kit is for the upcoming 2024 season?
$130.
Ooh, you're a little light.
What? Oh, shit.
Wow. $175.
Yep.
That's a bit fucking 100.
Right.
That's about 130 quid.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking mental.
Yep.
That's however, just for, I don't wish to encourage anybody to do this, but if you don't mind paying the £4 import tax, you can get the same shirts from China for
a Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that one. So.
No.
Yes. Well, so Charlotte came out with their new kit, which has mountains on it for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, neither David, you've never been to Charlotte, Todd. Guessing
Charlotte? No.
Yeah. Okay. Charlotte's not in the mountains, right? Just not a thing. They just put mountains on the front of their shirt. I'm not really sure why.
Okay.
It's just yeah.
Mountains, yeah. Nice things.
They are nice things, but you know, typically, right, your kid's supposed to represent some I get well, but then we've got that fucking purple and orange thing that we have right now. So I guess it doesn't really
I can't wait to spend $180 on a Toronto FC shirt and then pay extra so I can get Marshall Ruddy's name on the back of it.
Yes.
It will be a great year.
I have $40.
terrible fear that we are going to next year do one of those kits with a map on it that have become quite popular over the last couple of years. And
it'll just be like a line, and we'll figure out that it's the Clyde running through the middle of the
shirt. A map sort of governing the Clyde stuff. But if you're going to do it accurately. Do it by Rangers pubs on the Paisley Road West. That's the most. Right, you go for the grapes, and you go down right, and there's the Kensington, right, and then you go down to that's what it should be. Loudon 1, and then New Loudon, because apparently Loudon. That you had to use it twice. No other names were available. That's exactly.
Well, we could get like the jock tag that goes at the bottom, and that can have like the key for where all the pubs are. You know, you can number them out.
That's the last Infinity Stone that you snap into the glove.
Yeah. I think that would work, don't you? But yeah, like football kits. I watched Arsenal the other day, and they were really impressive. They beat West Ham by 6-0 away from home. Looked very good, except that they are wearing a strip that is luminous with swirly black lines on it, and it's like, oh, it's fucking horrible.
there was somebody like, I don't know, this Twitter. I need to start staying off it again. I'm starting breaking my own rules, but like. There were people talking, the possibility of us having a new manufacturer. Like, it wouldn't be bad having Puma back. It's like, no, they were all fucking terrible kits. Not a single shirt they made for us was any good. No, if you're going to change, just go to Adidas or Nike. That's it.
Yep.
Those are the only two fucking options. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Hummel, but we tried that, and that's...
Right. Frozenone uses Zeus. Heard of them? Nope. Not even the refs use them. We could do what Napoli do. Armani. Makes fucking shirts.
No, they do. They make Napoli shirts and the cost.
Well, is there like some tailor in the West End that we could get the slap on?
Right.
Dougie. Custom made.
custom made. No. Look. Here's people. Ask me about this a fair bit. They're like, are we getting Adidas or are we getting Nike? And it's like, firstly, you don't want Adidas or Nike now because of the horrible kits we just discussed. What you want is Adidas or Nike kits from when you were a kid. Am I right? That's what you want. Yeah. So just buy those ones. But here is exactly who Rangers' next kit supplier will be: the person who gives Rangers the most
money.
Yes.
Right? And then people will say, "Oh, you know, I got some bad customer service," which you get from all companies. And you will say, "Rangers don't care about the fans." It's like, no, they care about how much money the company is going to give them. And the company that is selling you the shirts care about how much money they are going to make from you buying the shirts. So we'll go through this every time, every year, the same complaints. And it's like, well, they don't care about the fans. No, they don't. Corporations, businesses not care about you. And if you love one the way we do, you have to accept that you love it more than it loves you.
Yep. And the only time that they do love you is when you stop loving them. That's the only time.
Yeah, and even then with, well, normal businesses, yeah, football clubs are like, oh, there'll be somebody else. That's true.
No, but like the kit people, the only time that Nike gives a shit about you is when you stop giving a shit about Nike. And then it's like, oh, okay, oh, here's a third kit. You can get it for half price when you buy two full-priced ones. Okay, fine, okay. Now you love me. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But it's such a strange thing to... But then, you know, I do understand that, like, I would be embarrassed. There are a couple of clothing ranges that Rangers have brought out over the years that were just disgusting. You're like, I can't in good conscience. Although then I'm such a hypocrite because you should see some of the shite I buy from the 80s that Rangers put out. I've got a... I think you guys call it a varsity jacket. Is that?
Yeah, varsity jacket.
Right.
Yeah.
I got the woolen leather.
I got a Rangers varsity jacket from 1989 the other week, and this thing is fucking horrible. I mean, it's
magnificently. Okay, let's look it up. Let's see what this thing looks like.
I'll send you a photo, and Shane can tweet it on the Crowpod account. This fucking thing is disgusting, right? I mean, it's so horrible. I love it. You know, it's just. it is the Sharknado of Rangers clothing.
I get shit like I've got those orange Tennessee trousers. I just, you know, like they've got flamingos and bananas on them. But why? But they're fucking great.
There's I bought a pair of we were in the Adidas store, like we're just kind of shopping around. And I was like, hey, you know what? I need some new shoes for summer. And I bought some like burgundy red Adidas campus shoes. Yeah. And the reason I bought the burgundy ones is because I put on the purple ones and my wife said no. That's why. Well, I said, so the pink ones are totally out of the question. She's like, yes. And I was like, I almost got the pink ones, but then they had two laces and I hadn't seen that before. And I'm like, I think I'm too old if we have two sets of laces on the same shoe. So I'll just go with the burgundy ones. That's a safer bet.
Yeah. See, the other night at the Super Bowl, it was in Vegas, obviously. And I think that, you know, as the phrase goes, there's stuff you can get away with in Vegas, isn't there, that you can't get away with anywhere else.
Yeah.
And your favorite guy, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers coach, he turned up in a purple suit, right? And one of my mates went, oh, look at that, purple suit's absolutely disgusting. But then I had to send him a photograph of my wedding day in Las Vegas,
which
I am wearing a purple suit. Because for much the same reason, I'd said to Sally, I was like, you know, we'll get married in Vegas. She said, what are you going to wear? I said, I can't really wear, you know, a normal, you know, plain suit. So I'll get something. I've worn that suit precisely once. I will never, ever wear it again.
Still fits. Still fits.
It does still fit. I'll say that. But I will never, ever wear it again. But it's Vegas. You know, you're allowed to look like a tit in Vegas. Yep.
You know, it's still kind of amazing to me. Like, what was it? In 2007, I think the NBA hosted their All-Star game there.
Right.
Right. And that was kind of like the sports leagues like dipping their toe in. Like, is this going to, are they going to let us get away with this? And I think after everybody kind of thought that, like, it would just never happen. And now, what, you've got three professional sports teams playing there full time. Yep. You just had the Super Bowl. I mean, it's fucking crazy. It's nuts. Yep. Never thought that would happen.
Who would have thought sports teams would flourish in a place that does sports betting?
Well, the biggest thing is when every state started legalizing books.
No, but like my point is that you get – all of these, you get any sort of franchise. Like, friends of mine are doing this for the Sens. Whenever the Sens play in Vegas, guess where they plan a trip? Yeah. Right? Yeah. You go down, you watch your team, you know, you drop your wallet onto the roulette table, and then you go home. That's it.
Yeah. You drink and you gamble. I mean, you and I, well, they are, what, it was 2 years ago now, Todd, for NASA, right?
Yeah.
And we had a fucking great time. Everybody did, because there's so much to do. And look, and especially if you go in mob-handed, and sport is about being part of, you know, a bigger gang and a bigger group. So it makes a lot of sense. But one day, Rangers, please arrange a friendly in Las Vegas, because with 2,000, we took over the place. With 5,000, we could probably end that city.
You know, surely we have a friendly.
We killed this city. We killed this city from Ibrox.
Yeah, we killed this city with jocks on a roll. you know, although I have to admit, the other day, right, I was watching football, and Gary Neville, they were talking about Vegas because Sky had the Super Bowl, and they were talking about it all day on their coverage. And he said, I'm just back from Vegas. I want to see you two at the Sphere. Now, I'm a big fan of Achtung Baby by U2. I'm not a big U2 fan. Generally, like their 80s stuff and their 2000s stuff, I find incredibly boring. But their 90s stuff, when they went a bit weird, is great. And they're doing Achtung Baby in its entirety, and it's at the Sphere.
Yep.
And I said to Sal, I showed her, you know, videos of the Sphere. She's like, fucking hell. Because, see, to be fair, for those of you who don't know, this thing is incredible. I mean, it really genuinely is.
Well,
right. So I said to her, I was like, do you fancy going to this? And she said, I'm not a big U2 fan, but, you know, obviously, trip to Vegas, I'll go. So I'll go and look into it. The tickets are $2,000 each.
Sure, they are.
So I tried the very mature thing of saying, look, Sal, the tickets are $2,000 each. So she's like, yeah, so we can't go. I said, well, you're half right. I said, you can't go. But I still could. And she's like, would you want to go on your own? I said, the fact we're having this conversation answers that question. after a few minutes of give and take, it was decided that she would rather I didn't spend about $6,000 all in to go to this concert on my own. And I think that was very magnanimous of me, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well done, Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Well done,
me. You know, let's get the break. Quick break. Come right back. All right, welcome back to part two of the Crowpot. As always, scroll down, check out our friends. Of course, the famous headwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. Our good friend Mark Boyd over there, recovery and repair in East Kill Bride. Look, the power of Crowpot advertising. Mark told me, made a point of letting me know that he's gotten two or three new customers in the past couple weeks who specifically said they heard about it from the Crowpot.
Why did you... You multiple. Leave it at that. No need for two or three, okay?
I don't care. Well, I'm trying to be honest about the ambulance.
Why? It's advertising, right? That the very...
Literally hundreds of new customers are available.
Yeah.
See, at your disposal.
See, when I was at the Trust, the Rangers Supporters Trust, and we were talking, our membership was growing pretty steadily, right? So I said, what's our membership? And they were like, it's just beat 5,000. I said, fantastic. Put out a press release saying our membership is steadily climbing towards 10,000.
Yep.
I said, but it is steadily climbing towards
10,000. It is.
Remember, we got to 10,000. We put out a press release saying our membership is now over 10,000. And a few weeks later, I put out one without telling anybody, saying rapidly approaching 20,000 members. You know, and things are like that, but it's not true. And I'm like, it's not a lie either.
See, yeah, hold on. If you take it on the scale of time, right? It's what the Earth's been here for about 4.5 billion years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How rapidly you were closing in on 20? I mean, that's pretty amount of time. You know,
blink of an eye. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's so yeah, multiple good words. Remember the episode?
Multiple customers. Yes. Have gone to get rubbed.
Several.
Remember the episode of The Simpsons where Marge is a realtor?
Yes.
And Lionel Hutton.
Stay away from the east side.
Yeah. Well, Marge, there's the truth. Nod said. And the truth shakes it.
You know, speaking of realtors, did you see there's like $50 million worth of houses about to fall into the ocean in California?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
isn't that great?
That house is on fire! Motivated seller!
Yeah. Yeah. It's awfully small. I'd say it's awfully cozy. That house is dilapidated. Rustic.
Rustic. Handyman's dream.
Yes, I saw that, and I saw Hawaii. There's some bad shit going on there as well.
Yeah.
It's all falling apart. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Look, can we just win the win treble this year?
Yep.
Is that way if everything goes tits up in November?
Well, we are on a quadruple. I just wanted to point that out. So.
Well, the
quadruple.
Thing is,
stick with the messaging.
Yeah, and the Europa League final is in Dublin, and if we were to
have a song for that.
But we would look. See if Rangers. There's two things I've always said, right? See if Rangers got to a final in Dublin, or it had a game that we ever drew Roma or Lazio. The next day, they would have to shut us down. No complaints. None of us could say, oh, no, we would all agree. Yeah, you have. Yeah, yeah. But what a fucking way to go.
Yep.
Do you not think it's coincidental, by the way, that in 70 years of European competition, which we are in every year, that we've never drawn Roma or Lazio? It is not a fucking coincidence. Right? There's no fucking way they're letting us in Rome.
Oh man. Yeah, I really didn't have anything. I don't know. What you guys got big plans for the women for tomorrow? Or are you gonna sit there and solemnly of course watch us play and then remember February the 14th for how awful
Well, I get up at 12:30. I've got a show to do, I've got the daily update to do, and then I'll leave here at 4 to go at the game. So I'll see Sally for approximately 7 minutes.
It's about 6.5 minutes better than she usually gets on match days.
Well, the thing is, I've got a card. I've got a Valentine's card, and she will have forgotten. Right, so
win.
Totally, I win exactly, and I know this. I've got a Valentine's card, and therefore I win. She doesn't care. I'll say that for such. She really doesn't care about like Valentine's Day or anniversary. She doesn't bother her either. So I'm fortunate in that regard. I don't really understand the force. I've never have, you know, the forced thing of let us go out and be romantic, especially on a Wednesday night. You know, you've been at your work and you come home and you're like, oh yeah, let's go out and get sick. You know, really? You know why? Fair enough. It reminds me too much of Love Day.
It is. It's totally Love Day.
Yeah, Lord Huffington.
There's absolutely no question. My wife does appreciate the day that is Valentine's Day. Thankfully, she doesn't appreciate it enough that we have to spend $500 on a mediocre meal during the week. We're able to order in. A couple of cards is fine. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to run downtown and pick up a gift.
But yeah.
Chinese and a movie and a gift. I totally get that. But you're absolutely right. See this, you know, getting dressed up. Restaurants quite rightly gouge the shit out of people for because it's a chance to make a lot of money and what we've done.
Lovely three course meal for only the cost of an MLS kit.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. For one plate.
So you know you can't blame them. It's their time to.
It's their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know.
This and Mother's Day. Those are it, man.
Yeah, Mother's Day is a non-negotiable, I have to admit. My mom is, yeah.
Oh, my mom goes cuckoo for Mother's Day, yeah.
Yeah, don't Don't fuck with it. But I've said this before, and it's true. There's only two things in life a man should love unconditionally: his football team and his mother.
Hmm.
Okay, so the dogs get a pass. I see. Okay, no, that's fine. No, that's totally cool. No problem.
The dogs are obvious.
Oh, so the dogs were understood. Moms weren't. Moms needed deliberate, you know. No dog has ever fucked up your childhood. None. Zero. Right. And if they did, it was your fault. There are thousands upon thousands of mothers who are being talked about at this very moment to a psychologist. Okay? Dogs. Moms got to work for it. I just said it. There we go. Mom's got to work for it.
the thing about it is, right? John Lennon had a song called Mother. Remember? Mother,
yeah.
You had me, but I never had you. He did not have a song called Dog.
No. He should have.
Yeah.
He should have.
There's a brilliant song by a band, a country rock band called Slobberbone, called Gimme Back My Dog. And it's about a breakup, and you can guess what he's after in the I urge you to listen to it. It's absolutely brilliant.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Gimme Back My Dog.
Gimme Back My Dog. Now, I've never heard the song, but all I'm hearing is the Talking Heads, Give Me Back My Name, and just some name for dog.
Absolutely, but we used to play it in a country rock band that was in, and people would go nuts for it, because it is the chorus is just, give me back my dog, right? You know, people just identify, of all the things in a relationship breakup, that, you know, yeah, you're absolutely, it's his fucking dog, you're right.
Yeah, give him back the dog.
Give him back his dog. It's his dog. It's not your dog.
Yeah. I'm now taken to that, my favorite scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where they're all in the back of the pickup truck, and then the dog is biting at Steve Martin while he's trying to get the gloves. And all you see them driving away, and you just hear John Candy go, give him the goddamn gloves!
Hey, Dave, I got... Am I wrong? Is Ross County, like, they're just not trying to hire a manager now?
They have hired.
That's awesome.
Do they need to?
they have a.
Like, will it do anything?
They appointed Don Cowie. And they're giving him the end of the season to prove himself, and he'll either get it.
I mean, yeah, fuck it.
It's better than that last fucking idiot they had. The guy who. The guy who turned up and went, Scottish football is shite. All of it is rubbish. These players.
I don't know
are
any
rubbish.
Of these players, and I'm not going to learn their names.
Right. Who the fuck are these guys? And then proceeded to lose every match afterwards by several goals because the players all hate them. I love when footballers say this, right? They always say, you know, when you're asked, are you still playing for the manager? They always say yes. And then, you know, they get beat 5-0 several times until they get the manager the sack. And it's like, lads. Yeah. Lads, football is a very obvious measuring stick.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's something to be said. Some of our players kind of put on that sort of performance earlier this season.
100%. Where it was like, yeah. And think about it. If you're in a job and your boss is under pressure and you hate him, then are you going to go the extra mile to save his job? Are you it's common sense, but Derek Adams, how not to be a football manager? Don't walk in, tell the people at the club, I hate all of you, I hate this, I don't want to be here,
right?
This place is shit.
It's a pretty bold strategy.
You know what, when I hop on stage and say that to a crowd, always goes great. It's a great night. It's a fucking magic evening.
Is that how you got Tony Orlando on your side?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I will say, for Jerry Sadovitz, he does say that. I went to see him one time doing his magic show, and he came on and he told a couple of jokes, and then he went, all right, let's get this fucking cancer over with. So, very honest approach to doing it. And Stuart Lee's opening line when he played the Hydro in Glasgow, which is the biggest venue he'd played. He walked on stage. He went, "My goodness, this place is big, isn't it?" And the crowd cheered, and he went, "It's too big. It won't work."
That is superb. I'm stealing that.
Well, here's the other thing you should steal from him, because I think this is absolute genius. He came back out for section two and he had a guitar, and he goes up to Mike and he starts tuning the guitar and he's like, "I'm not playing anything. I've just noticed that when comedians do this and they're tuning up, people think that what they say is just banter and they think it's off the cuff and therefore witty. So I'm just going to do my act while tuning this guitar, and you'll think I'm just making it up on the spot." Oh, I need to send you that book. Actually, you'd love that. And mind me to send you that book. He breaks down his act and how he does it. You would love it from a technical comedian side. So
beautiful. Yes, I want that.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Good stuff. Hey, we got big darts news. Local darts news, but with a worldwide impact. Because like the company that made the first electronic dartboards is from here, from Rockford. Yeah, like the ones that tally up the score for you and have all the flashing lights and all that kind of
stuff. Oh, yeah.
So they just got bought out by a jukebox company.
It's called, Soft Tip.
Yeah. Bullshooter boards is what the name brand on them is. But yeah, no, so they got bought out. So
okay.
See, breaking news on the crowd.
Soft Tip is
just announced. So
Soft Tip is what is played in the US and Canada primarily, and in the Far East. And it does cause a few problems for the poor fuckers when they come over to play darts over here. Not because it's especially different, it isn't, but those boards do the counting for you.
Yeah,
tell you what you need.
Yeah, so
when they come and they're on stage and you have thousands of people watching them, there's a bit of pressure anyway. They go up and they're like, "No, my arithmetic is just totally fucking gone." Whereas obviously with darts players, you need to be able to instantly go, "Right, I need this. That means that," you know, and adapt and change. Whereas those boards do it for you, which I think is. It's a bit unfair then saddling the poor fuckers. It's like, "Have you got everything you need for the world championships?" "Yes, I've been practicing 6 hours a day and I've hired an arithmetic tutor."
I mean, it's easy enough, a 16-year-old can figure it out.
So, exactly.
You know.
He's doing all right, that lad, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I believe he's made £650,000 in the last 2 months in prize money alone.
Alimony and child support payments he's obviously got, because that kid is not 16.
I just think he looks like a 16-year-old darts player. You know, darts players.
Oh, that's, all right, there is that part.
Darts players look like that. Darts players live on lard. And,
It's kind of like all the NBA players from the 80s all look like they're like 55, even when they were 22.
In general, go back and watch. I urge you all to do this. Go back and watch footage of cup finals.
Any sport. Literally any sport from the 70s or 80s.
Every single footballer in the 60s and 70s looked like they'd had their cunt kicked every single day of their life. And they expected nothing more. That was what they all looked like. Every one of them clearly smoked 60 Red Marlboro a day. Every one of them clearly ate fish and chips nonstop and pies, and that was it.
I think the best American football photo ever, Len Dawson of the Chiefs in the locker room at Super Bowl III at halftime, firing a lung dart and chugging a fucking bop of, like Fresca or something like that. It's like, standing. Yep.
Super Bowl III, I've got to support this thing or it might not make it.
Right.
That's an important thing. Funnily enough, there's a great, we'll talk about this on our English football show this week, that we'll talk about how, you know, sometimes a football team, they're in really good form. They all must just have a Friday, the game before, they all look round and they go, "Yeah, we're really on it," and they turn up and they put in a brilliant performance. Conversely, there must be days where you just look at each other and go, nah, we're not feeling it today. You know, there must be, right? And they get a bad result. Like West Ham at the weekend, that's what prompted it. You know, they knew, you could see after 10 minutes, you are going to get rogered, right? Yeah, you are going to get absolutely beaten. So Peter Reid, who used to play for Everton, he had this book called Everton Summer Mexican Winter that was like a diary of his year and included the 86 World Cup. And he said, going into this game, it was a crucial game against Oxford. He said there was just a terrible vibe on the bus and I just felt we were going to lose. I don't know why. And he said he spoke to some of the other players and they all agreed. So they all went to see the manager and he said, look, we've got this bad vibe. And don't worry about it. Here's what you're going to do. And what they were going to do was they all drank a double whiskey before they went out to play. Yeah. Like all eight of the players who were feeling this way. And they lost, funnily enough. thus handing the league title to Liverpool. But I love that was the solution. I know. Let's stop and get a bottle of whiskey. That'll serve it. That's actually a great book. You can still pick it up, folks. I'll just do it. He goes back after the FA Cup final, which they lost, and he says, I was really depressed, so I just sat there and I drank 10 cans of lager. But then the electricity went out, and I didn't have a 50p piece to put in the meter, which is what you had to do back then. You had like a coin meter, and if you didn't have a 50 pence piece to put in it, you didn't have electricity. And I love the idea. This guy's just played in the fucking FA Cup final. Do you think that there are any footballers now playing in the FA Cup final who go home and don't have electricity because they don't have a 50 pence and sit there drinking warm lager to get over it?
Definitely. I mean, it sounds like something that Colo Touré might have done at one point
right. in his career. Yeah,
what a lad Colo Touré is. Remember the time he told a girl he was shagging, he was an Uber driver?
Oh, boy.
Then she saw him playing.
She took a picture of him in the shower. Yeah. Some of her friends were like, that's Colo Touré.
Colo Touré plays for Liverpool. Oh, fucking wonderful. You have to admire
that. You know what? Two things can be true at the same time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe he supplemented his income by taking hires. Yeah, you're right. It could happen. I don't think it did. Credit to Mo Diamande. Did you see the clip? Mo Diamande from the Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast defeated Nigeria.
Yeah, won the
AFCON. And he went in the next day, and he's changing next to Leon Balogun, who, of course, Nigerian international. Yeah. He takes his jacket off, and he's wearing an Ivory Coast top. And Big Leon films it, and he's like, you better bring your shin guards. You're forgetting I'm back in training today. But what a brilliant bit of patter just to show up and go, hey, what do you think of this thing?
It's like that moment in Ted Lasso where Mexico plays Canada in internationals and the Mexican is just shutting out and putting hexes on the Canadian goalkeeper. And over the course of the game, spreads the Canadian's nose right across his face with a shot. Comes in, broken nose, like, you know, looks like the man in the mask, except it's gauze. It's great. You know?
I don't think I would fuck off Big Leon right enough because he's massive. Nope.
No, he's quite large. Yeah.
He
seems quite, like a very nice guy, but that's always the ones that you really don't want to fuck with.
Do you know why he gets those nice mazy runs up the middle? Because no one wants to talk to him. Yeah. That's why.
He's the great story from the 80s. Do you remember Dave McPherson?
Of course. Big Slim.
Yeah. But he also played a couple of times for Hearts. And he was asked who was his toughest opponent, and he said Ali McCoist, and people sort of applauded in the hall, and he said, no, it's for a slightly different reason to you think. Obviously he's very good, he said, but you'll be standing there, you know, on the halfway line, and you're focused and concentrating on the ball and watching for a breakaway or whatever, and Ali will wander up to you and go, all right, big man, how's the missus? And you're like, fuck off, Ali. And he's like, right, okay, what about the Wains? Are they in school? Fuck off, Ali. We're playing. It's all right. I'm just being friendly. I bought a new motor the other week. It's pretty good. I think you had one similar, didn't you? And he's like, Ali, fuck off. He says, the next thing, of course, there is a long ball. I'm too busy getting really fucking frustrated at him talking to me. He fucks off and scores. He just runs, just switches on instant. He's completely switched my concentration off while retaining his concentration, and he then runs and scores. And he said he was also a tough teammate because when he would score a goal like that, he would run by you and go, I've just won you your win bonus again.
That very much reminds me of when I was playing defense in our company team, and we were horrible. Like, our away goal number was in three digits. Like, it was just horrible. Yeah, we called, I may have said this before, we called our Romanian goalkeeper the bowler because he had 10 pieces of dead wood standing in front of him. And I was playing up against this forward who had this long flowing black hair, total dude bro, like built like a brick shit house, you know, just like muscled through everyone because he was like the high bat, like the tall bastard that would knock it down to the wee bastard, and like that's how we're doing their formation. And I said, I have nothing, I can't keep up with this guy. Every time I run into him, it's like running into a wall or a tree. So I said, well, let's turn on the charm offensive. And so every time I would slam into him, I would just say, because he had this long hair, I would just go, sorry, ma'am, and then go away. And he got so fun. This guy called me a woman. And they go, well, the shoe fits. What? And then like, yeah. And he totally got off his game because I called him a woman. It was amazing. Loved it. Loved every second.
Well, I remember I used to play in the University League in the when I was at Stirling, and oh my god, right. So we're playing this side and we were hammering them, right? Like, I think it was maybe 6-0 at half time, right? Mm-hmm. And 8-0 after an hour. And we get a corner.
Sure.
And I'm doing my usual of hanging about on the edge of the box because there's no fucking way I'm heading the ball, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know. No. So I would wait in the edge of the box for a knockdown or, you know, the ball coming loose. And I'm looking out at the corner take, and then the next thing, you know that way in your peripheral vision where you spot something, like, mm-hmm. right? And I look round and there's a big kerfuffle that then turns into one of our lads getting down one of their defenders, and he's just fucking like Jimmy Conway and Goodfellas. He's just fucking hammering him. So, like, what the fuck? He gets sent off, obviously. But he stuck his finger up my ass. He says they're waiting for the boy to come in. He says he just felt his hand going down his shorts. And it's funny because we all laughed. You wanker. But, you know, that's a sex crime. The guy should have been put on the register for that.
Oh. You know, hey, I love you, David. We had an update from one of the big ones from last week.
Okay.
In the My Sunday column.
Ah, right. See the one?
No.
Timmy Mallett came out with his, and it's well, here we go. I wake up at 2:45 a.m. approximately 3 hours after going to bed, to hit the gong at the end of the hall, which is embossed with the face of Brian Blessed with a foam mallet. I had the statue commissioned. I had the statue commissioned out the profits of BC Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. It doesn't wake up my wife, Linda, as she sleeps most night in the panic yurt in the garden. It's very healthy for our relationship, and she likes to fertilize the foxgloves in the night. I then have breakfast, 17 individual rice sickles, and a horn of Bovril. Sometimes with a dash of Armagnac if I'm feeling feisty. Next, I while away several hours until other humans are awake and ready to talk to me by having a shower and reading my fully laminated books. I usually read Dostoevsky. But at present, I'm rereading Colin Dan's The Animals of Farthingwood, modern masterpiece. Around 8 a.m., I let the dogs, Tiddlyblinks, Rolo, and Stalin, in the garden. Where they wake up Linda, unless she's playing Train Simulator or doing hot yoga with my agent Beatrice. 9 a.m., second breakfast, microwave lobster and frazzles.
See, that's somebody that gets it. That's exactly what you should do with these things.
9:15 every day, I meet Agent Beatrice for 7 minutes at the thrash metal sauna. The lawn is car park to picture my sitcom again, which is about love. I spent several hours doing Pilates with the Parliament Channel on. At noon, I have lunch, a Big Mac, Whopper, and a boneless banquet, which all arrive at the same time. And if they don't, I get physically angry. Linda sometimes pops in for a minute or two to tell me to get my shit together. I spend the rest of the day working on my novel, or playing Pat Nick with the ghost of Patrick McNee, and discussing our favorite films, which passed the Bechdel test. Late afternoon, I go out to lure the dogs in with some yak carcass, but I have to be in before sunset or else. We have dinner at 5 p.m. sharp. Linda sometimes joins. Sometimes she leaves me a darts board covered in demands. She often spends a few hours with Beatrice, who's just a friend. I have a triple espresso and pink wafer, which will see me through till midnight. Then for the rest of the evening, I watch the films of Samira Marca, I don't know, some Iranian, rounding it all off with that Donald Duck cartoon where he forces his nephews to smoke cigars. I've not made that up. Look it up. Finally, I bang the blessed gong to let Linda know I still exist, climb into my Belizean peace hammock, and thank the goddess Kali for another glorious day.
Oh my god.
The blessed gong is fucking fantastic. But see, that's a
good one. I had it at Panic Yurt, and it just went uphill from there.
A few hours with Beatrice, who's just a friend.
Just a friend. God damn it.
That is just fucking brilliant. I mean, but that's what you should do with it. You know, you can't come out of this well if you do it normally. So just, right. No. You know, have a laugh, have fun. I now think more of him after hearing that.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to with the Greg Wallace one, where the entire world thought you are an asshole. Right? Have a bit of a laugh, have a bit of fun, show you don't take yourself too... But I suppose you can't show you don't take yourself too seriously if you take yourself too seriously. That's the whole point of it, I suppose. It's just, it isn't physically possible to do it. That is absolutely... Oh, God.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, we're bringing that.
I want a blessed gong.
Yeah.
Where can we get such a thing? I mean, he said he made it himself, didn't he?
I gotta hunt up some microwavable lobster now.
Right, you both know the actor Brian Blessed, right?
Of course,
yeah.
Blackadder.
Yes, yeah. Here's one of the weird things about Brian Blessed, right? He hosted Have I Got News for You one night, venerable old British thing, right, which has guest hosts, and he was wearing a chain with a Rangers pendant.
What?
An RFC pendant. And like me and my dad were watching it, and I was like, Dad, is that? He's like, it is? And I'm like, it can't be. And I'm like, no, it really is. So could somebody please find out if Brian Blessed is a Rangers fan, or if he just picked that up and thought it looked cool?
Because right.
If Brian Blessed is a Rangers fan, I demand he does the halftime announcements.
Yes.
And I don't give a fuck if we never sign another player again if it costs that much money to happen, but I demand that we do it.
Right. Oof. Great. Or even just a play like the players that when they score.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Brian Blessed roaring over the tannoy at Ibrox would be worth.
Yes.
You can stick another £100 on the season ticket to pay for it. We'll pay it.
Scoring from the corner.
From the corner.
Number two. Jim Tavernier.
And he's in Flash Gordon as well, playing Brian Blessed. And he's in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, playing Brian Blessed. It just, as you said, he's in Blackadder where he plays Brian Blessed, and I would absolutely have him in it because he's just Flash Gordon is such a fucking great movie, by the way. I have not seen that
since I saw it in the theaters and I was 7.
Get it?
You know, but
get the restored version, right? Because what they did, and I love this, the cast, because it was filmed in England, the cast is with the exception of Flash and his love interest, and I suppose Max Van Sydow, the cast is English actors and English Shakespearean actors, actually. You know, really, you know, Timothy Dalton, Brian Blessed, guys like that, people who could absolutely, right. Peter Wingard, people who could act, right? And then the two that they hired to play Flash and his love interest are not actors, right?
Okay.
And they put in a performance that you would expect from two non-actors, right? You know, they, I don't mean, by the way, that, oh, they're not actors, as I'm saying, they're bad actors. I mean, no, they weren't actors. Yeah, they were.
Right, yeah.
You have this contrast between a bunch of British thespians who are having the time of their life chewing the scenery because they know how utterly fucking ridiculous it is. And then you've got this earnest go at it by two amateurs, right?
Right.
Chuck in, you also have Topol, right? If I was a rich man, he's in there. You've got Max von Sydow and you've got Brian Blessed. What more do you possibly need in a movie? It's fucking... At one point, Flash takes them all on using an American football. That is... You don't get that in Marvel, do you?
No.
And what I think is really great is that they've gone back and they've added the Marvel, you know, the intro.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've added that in and I'm like, oh, you're reclaiming it now after years of being utterly embarrassed by it.
You missed one, or missed a couple, actually. Robbie Coltrane's in it.
Yes.
He plays the pivotal role, Man at Airfield. Mm-hmm. And a
big one.
Yeah, George Harris. Who else we got in this? Well, Eddie Stacy. Who the fuck knows?
No.
Put it to you this way, folks. I have an IMDb page, and if you ever want to, if you've ever had the question, what does the number one look like? Go look at my IMDb page. That's all.
It's an absolute riot. I advise you, Shane, when you're smoking one of your herbal cigarettes, right, to help with back pain, stick on Flash Gordon because it's so fucking colourful and bright and white.
Oh, it's fucking ridiculous.
But it knows it's ridiculous. And that, I think, is the sign of a good movie. It knows that it's completely over the top.
From the poster, you look at it and go, right.
Yeah, great exactly. Soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
You know, one of David's favorite bands.
Yes, exactly.
I will give them that. It's an iconic soundtrack, right? And for a movie like this, it works. So, look, I'm the first to accept, right? For this movie, if you'd got Joy Division, it wouldn't have worked.
Right. True. Right.
You know, as great as I think they are, I don't think that would have worked. But also, see the girl who put the foreign, she's a European actress, I don't know her name, who plays the kind of evil lady in it is insanely hot. And I remember when I was a young man, I probably first saw Flash Gordon when I was about 8, and I remember the unnatural stirrings that I found confusing, that a young man, right, people talk about their first sexual experience. Here is every single young man's first sexual experience. It's standing willy at the pool filter in a swimming pool. Right. That is every single young man's first sexual.
Are you like, talking a pool job? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're swimming because you don't know, right? You're 7 or 8, and you're swimming past the thing, and you go, hey, look, there's water coming out of this. This is cool. And you walk over to it, and it hits you in the groin, and you go, Jesus. And that and Flash Gordon with this lady, at one point, she's tied down on a bench with her arse up in the air, which is, you know, would never be allowed these days, right? That scene would be cut before it even got near the fucking censor. And being 8-year-old going, like, you know, you don't know because you didn't watch it. In Friends, there's this gag about Princess Leia in the bikini being like a whole generation's first kind of sexual stirrings.
Yeah.
And I never had that because I don't know why. Maybe she was a princess, you know? That was, didn't think of her in that way. Didn't consider her in that way. Whereas this, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm finding it confusing and exciting. I have no clue. I think I might have to take my football and go out and play keepy-uppy.
Yeah. Nothing like walking around high school with your binder right in front of your crotch. Oh, it's the same thing. You know?
Would you come up to ask a question, to answer a question to the class? No, I can't.
No, absolutely not. I'll take the D. Hey, speaking of D.
Hey, actually, speaking of Onion headlines, here you go. Man adjusts balls a second too long.
Yes, I saw.
That's the same when you're shaking off after a pee. Any more than three, you're masturbating.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
I tend to not shake for any more than 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, see? That's when you're getting into territory that you shouldn't be doing that in a public space, frankly. There comes a point where you've just got to let it go and accept the dribbles.
Yep.
God.
Are we into headlines now?
From the
Reductress, and this could be anyone really, remote work is hurting company culture, says CEO after third rounds of layoffs.
Yeah.
Here's one for David. I am your new king, says bloody cancerous polyp to British public.
Yeah. Here's a couple from The Onion I liked. Terrifying friend of friend asks woman point blank what brand of vibrator she uses. And this is me. Husband concerned about lack of meat in shopping cart. You know, like,
why are there leaks in here? What the fuck is going on?
There's a lot of plate decoration stuff I see in here, but I don't see any actual food. What's going on here?
Like the Biden recalls speaking to dead European leaders often as they beckon him toward the
beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, you can't argue. I thought that was supposed to be satire.
Yeah.
Elon Musk rushed to hospital after attempting to impregnate toaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also like Travis Kelce gets down on one knee after Super Bowl win and proposes to Reba McEntire. One last rap before I go. There was a guy who I was unaware of his existence, which now seems like a blessed period in my life, who sang America the Beautiful before the...
Post Malone.
What the fuck is that?
Yep.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I see David has stopped watching SNL. Okay, yeah.
No, I mean, fuck.
I mean, I stopped watching SNL in like 98.
So yeah, I still watch it. Yeah, I still watch it. It's kind of fun.
I wait for one of you guys to spot a good sketch and fire it off.
Yeah, send me one clip.
Yeah, that's I know what I'm doing. But no, this guy was so bad. And
the kids love him. I don't get it.
No, he's got ink on his face.
I know, Jesus. But every year during the Super Bowl, they sing at the start the national anthem. And this year it was Reba McEntire, venerable old country star. And every year, myself and David Marshall, the former Crow Podder, we spoke that every year watching the Super Bowl, we get such a rush of patriotic pride. Because America the Beautiful, the Star Spangled Banner, which is, of course, about us burning down the capital of the U.S.
Yep.
Every year we look back when the two of us sit, we message each other and go, you know, we did that. We used to be a nation. Yeah. That was us.
David, would you like to come to the front of the class and talk about it? No, I can't. No, I can't right now.
I have patriotic tumescence. Which, funnily enough, I got
your flagpole right here.
Which, funnily enough, is also the name of my hardcore band.
Yeah.
But I was once in a band, a punk band called Paul Pot Noodle.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Great name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. Unfortunately, the name was the best thing about us. We took the spirit of. I had this thing where I could play guitar and sing, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can play guitar and I can sing, but mm-hmm. not at the same time.
Right.
One of them has to go. Actually, what happens is. It isn't that one of them goes and I just do the other one. What happens is the guitar sounds like, and I'm like, that's why drummers, how the fuck do you do that? Two things at once.
As soon as you said Paul Pot Noodle, I was immediately taken to Dana Gould's bit on the Beatles of, like, he does this thing. It's like, you know, when something's really good, you say it's the Beatles of something. It's like, you always do it with good things. You never do it with, like, bad things. The Killing Fields of Cambodia. The Beatles of Human Suffering.
I remember David Baddiel talking about this. He said people put things in your... like newspapers, he says. So, for instance, I saw myself described as David Fantasy Football Baddiel, right? Because of the show that he did. He said, I really worry at one point that they might put in some like David Cancer Baddiel. So I'm not sure what the judgment is for what would be placed in commas in the middle of your name to indicate who you are, he says. But I'm hoping that in my case it's not, you know, like David Shooter still active. You just don't want that on your resume.
No.
All right, let's wrap it up. If you're going tomorrow, be safe, of course. So always have fun. I'm it's fun. It's still fun. I'm enjoying the fun. It's more fun, too, because not only are we playing incredibly well, but they're being outplayed by everybody. Yes. Like, they're getting outshot. They're getting, you know, the losing possession battle now. They are rapidly. Please just continue to win. Just keep winning. Mm-hmm. That's all we got to do. Just win every match till the end of the season. And we're fine.
Goal difference won't matter. If we keep winning points, they will implode.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. They are collapsing into their own arse. It's wonderful. So, anyway, David, have fun at the match tomorrow. Of course, David, you can find everything Heart and Hand. Find them, Twitter, whatever. Everybody knows where to find all of us. We've been here too long.
We have, yeah. Absolute pleasure.
As always. Todd, of course, find all his stuff, hatestva.com. What's the stuff, anything? I know you got Write 'Em Up coming up.
Yeah, Write 'Em Up end of the month, and that's about it. Just getting ready for that.
So, there you go. You can go find all that. And we'll be back. I don't know. What's the schedule next? See, the schedule keeps fucking with me. Because I can't keep up with the rearranged matches and shit. Are we back Tuesday?
Possibly.
Yeah, David? We are back Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back next Tuesday then. So there you go. Everybody have a good week. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
But you can't even fucking serious at all.